It's a fresh start for Cyborg and his dad. Beast Boy couldn't cut the mustard against Condiment King, and Wynn will probably never get used to sucking and blowing like this. He said recon, but he never said it's gonna be simple. You did not just ask me to hurry! DC's Young Justice Outsider Season 3, Episode 21, Unknown Factors, the AfterBuzz After Show starts right now.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
We're back to some Young Justice as we're flowing in. Oh my gosh, this episode was so fun.
Yeah, it had a lot. It was a lot of different like storylines, some closing, some starting again. And yeah, we'll talk about it more. But I just
love that will be talking about all things that have to do with DC's Young Justice Outsider Season 3, Episode 21, Unknown Factors. We are the panel that does the after show for the show. So after the show is the after show. That is us. What? It's like mind-blowing, right? Yeah,
so that's why they call it the after show.
Exactly. You should catch us on the after show. This panel is illustrious, and if you don't know, all the way to the left is Jeff Williams in the building.
Yes, what's up? Talking Young Justice, love to be here. You know, every Sunday, we got more Young Justice, can't beat it.
And to his right, but still to my left, is the uno dos tres queen, Anais.
Hi, everyone. What's up? You can find me on Vero, where Zack Snyder follows me. You know?
That's what's up. Zack Snyder follows you? Man,
Name drop. That,
by the way, is definitely a credit. And, of course, I'll be the host of With the Most, Taron, as we are talking all things in this episode 21, Unknown Factors. We're going to be going over a couple themes. Granny Goodness played a big role in this episode, so we're going to talk about her episode of Cribs on MTV. Well, basically, their recon mission that went awry. Granny's Discipline, Overlord, that was an interesting twist. Violet speaks up. Then we're going to go into a separate storyline, which was the Bumblebee and Guardian. They go Plan B. Hold on, what, too soon? Cyborg is Stage 5, Acceptance. And, of course, the Caldor and Wind. Yeah, the situationship that exists, the complications. And that has nothing to do with their relationship. News and gossip, we have some great stuff you're going to want to stay tuned for. Special segment, Outsiders, where Jeff's going to highlight an outsider, someone who's just making a difference, because hashtag we are all outsiders. And predictions and more. What were your overall thoughts to this week's episode?
I was happy to see Nightwing back because I love him, so I miss him a lot. So happy that he was back. And also, I could relate to your guys' frustration with Cyborg, so now I'm like, I was a little happier with what happened with Cyborg this episode.
Yeah, I was definitely happy to see Cyborg and that situation kind of come to an end, because in my opinion, they kind of made it quick. It was a quick conclusion, but then I'm glad they didn't like try to make it long into this episode. But yeah, I'm glad that was situated. I'm glad we got to see Nightwing and Black Lightning kind of interact and do that in this episode. But yeah, there's a lot of characters coming in that we don't often get to see, so that was cool. And then there was a bunch of the characters that we do get to see, but kind of mingling together.
Well, it seems like someone made a couple predictions that were exactly right. That someone would be me. The Doctor is not the good Doctor after all, as we can tell. Mm-hmm. That's where complications comes to play. And when I started watching this episode, it felt like I had missed an episode for a second. A lot of things kind of just tied up that were left out of last week's episode. So there was like an episode 20.5 that none of us got to see. However, they did kind of step back and explain it. I did really like the Cyborg tie-in with his father. We kind of bowed that up, and we have a lot of other things going on. Granny Goodness is going to be such an enigmatic character. I love watching her. She is evil through and through. And this whole Caldor and Wind relationship is like love at first sight, second sight. We're gonna find out so much more. Let's get into the topic of Granny Goodness, right? We go to her crib, we kind of get way more insight on who she is outside of our established knowledge from the comic book. What do you guys think of Granny Goodness?
I thought it was cool how they showed her, the inside of her, like, they talked about her character and stuff, but she wasn't even shown in the episode until later, so it was, like, more about learning who she is, like, through the outside. So I thought it was a cool different way of showing that and having the characters interact with that.
Yeah, I'm also glad that she, you know, they kind of talked about her. She was a part of this episode, too, because that was something that I felt like, you know, it was kind of left on the back burner for a while. We saw Granny Goodness for a while and then didn't really hear much. And now, especially with what happened at the end, the last scene, I think we're finally getting to, like, okay, the good stuff. The meat of the season, I think.
Yeah, it looks like a lot of things are tying in. We'll see, because, of course, we know all about Granny Goodness. Granny Goodness is a character who is one of the Apocalypse's, is one of his head people, right? And she's responsible for a lot of different things that happen on that world. She is basically his general, his go-to, his right-hand man in every way. In fact, she even says things like, my word is Apocalypse's word. That is what she says. And watching her, and I liked how, Jeff, how you pointed out that we got a different insight of her from the outside. We watched everyone suspicious of her. Mm-hmm. And now we know that suspicion is definitely justified. I mean, she's clearly not Gretchen Goody.
No.
Gretchen Goodness, or Gretchen Good Person, or whoever she's going by today. It's just, call me Granny. Yeah.
Like, she showed you her powers without even being there. She's like, oh yeah, you talking about the people that are trapped downstairs? Yeah, that's in my house. You're right.
That's in a different universe part of my house. Let me take you there. Because when you closed that door and all of a sudden you were sealed off, you knew something diabolical was going to happen, right?
Yeah.
So she's like, if Betty White was like the worst person ever, right? It's kind of that feel, because you always think, oh, old people, we should trust old people. Oh, it's so sweet.
Ooh, not this one.
Didn't go through.
So now after watching this show, I can't trust old people. Like, I don't know what to believe anymore.
Is that what it is? Yeah, stop being age biased.
I'm traumatized. No, no, I'm
you look like Granny Goodness. You know, I'm not going to mess with you no more.
I'm not going to stop.
Oh, you want me to help you cross the street carrying groceries? You can do it yourself.
I'm your grandmother. I don't care. Yeah. I don't trust you for nothing.
I've seen this before.
Yeah, I've seen this. Granny. I'm not closing the door.
Yeah. You think you can fool me? No.
You go in this house, they close the door, and automatically are cut off from the outside world. What were your thoughts on that?
I thought it was bound to happen, but what frustrated me, it happened twice. And, like, you knew that was going to happen because it happened with Nightwing and Black Lightning. But then when you have Aqualad go in there, why wasn't there a different plan? We see there was, kind of, with her having a drone, but that was spotted quickly. So I was kind of disappointed to see them kind of go through the same thing and not learn from it.
But it was cool to see at the end, Barbara Gordon. I love Batgirl so much. I love Barbara Gordon. So we don't see her a lot in the show, but I'm glad that she kind of helped them. You know, she kind of saved the day in the end. So
she does. She does. And they kind of went unprepared, because this time she had the little video surveillance, knowing something was happening. But she just wasn't aware of exactly what. And who could guess that? Oh, that's right. She has outer world technology. Maybe we should have all guessed that.
No, but I'm like, when you hear, oh, the signal drops. The signal dropped a second time, too. They didn't do anything that changed that aspect. That's what I was frustrated about. But you do see them trying to do recon and also see what is happening. So it goes both ways. Yeah.
Yeah, Oracle, Barbara Gordon, is there. She plays his brain, the brain to the operations. Mm-hmm. She's the Alfred to his Batman.
The person behind the
desk.
Even
better, because she has an opinion, and her opinion is well-informed, and she's smart. And it's actually, she goads Nightwing into action and inspires him at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's fun watching her.
Yeah, yes. I love her interaction. Like, yeah, I'm just doing this behind the desk, but I also have drones coming. Don't worry, I got this. Like,
she was amazing. Oh, I love her.
Yeah, she really like stole her scene just because of, like, I'm gonna just do this, have drones. She was like all like bossing around and doing stuff. It reminded me of from Arrow. They have
Felicity
from Arrow, because, like, she plays the innocent role, but she's also someone that could beat you up with her smarts and her, like,
fit. And there was actually an episode of Arrow called Oracle, I think, that was about Felicity. So
it's like a nod. Yeah. Exactly, there was. Mm-hmm. And so it's like a good nod. So Granny, we get to see when Nightwing and Black Lightning are basically grounded. Yeah, I did that. We see that they're part of this mind control program, which is actually Granny Goodness's MO, right? She mind controls the children on Apocalypse and creates these soldiers, these super soldiers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it wasn't surprising, but it was cool to see them actually, like, kind of fight or whatever. And then I was expecting more from that fight, though. They were like, no, it's our strength and magic that can take them down. I was like, all right, then what? I kind of didn't see the point of changing or, like, mind wiping them if they weren't going to fight.
Yeah, I kind of felt like it did kind of, it should have lasted maybe a little bit longer. It was, like, too easy.
I actually really liked that, because I was wondering how they would play that. I was like, wait, These are Aquaman. Yeah. How are people who are just basically, look, let's not forget, Nightwing's just a guy. Nightwing is just Dick Grayson. There is no metagene. There is no superpower. There isn't even a Batman. This is Nightwing. No offense.
That's why I love him. That's why he's awesome.
But no,
he's
great.
He's great, but still, he's second fiddle to Batman. Yeah, I said it. So it's not like if Nightwing and Batman went one-on-one, who are you saying is going to win?
Yeah, okay, Batman, because he trained him.
It's not even trained him. Batman. Batman's Batman, okay? Yeah. I want to know, you guys at home, who do you think would win, Batman or Nightwing?
Dick would put up a good fight.
Yeah, Dick would put up a good whooping. Yeah. He'd take a good whooping.
So he'd fight.
He's Robin.
He's the only Robin who actually took on the cow in the comics and was Batman for a while.
Yeah, that's because the other one died. One had his legs broke and then one... I mean, listen.
He was the only one that was up to, could take...
Like Batman's the nicest adoptee parent here. And this is the guy who's like, I adopted you. Now let's get to training. Like, what?
I adopted you. Dodge this. That's not how it goes.
We're going to go fight evil super villains.
Before breakfast.
But that mind control thing is definitely a granny goodness thing. And here we see they come up and they are being mind controlled. Yes, it seemed like it could play like they were sleeper cells or of something. Mm-hmm. And Granny threw it off all for the mother box.
Yeah.
But then we get a little insight to that mother box.
Yeah, it was kind of cool to see. And then also how it kind of drew Halo and who else? Cyborg and Halo drew them. I thought that was really cool to see because it kind of had not the right analogy, but a spider sense. Oh, I need to be drawn to this. And then the whole team is oh, you can do a boom tube now? Because you're seeing
Cyborg.
So you're seeing Cyborg evolve and find out new...
Abilities.
New abilities, everything. So it was cool to see.
Yeah, I was happy that he finally was embracing. You know, it's like he said, he's in the acceptance stage, and he's not moody and I'm just gonna embrace my power. It's yes, finally. I was waiting for that. Let's go.
Yeah, let's move on. Here you are. You're a superhero. You can do things that are crazy. You just threw 250 pounds into the air like it was nothing.
Yeah. I'm so happy the moody stage or phase is not there anymore.
Yeah, and I didn't want it to last the whole season. I was going to be I can't.
There's only five more episodes. They drew it out. They made us wait. We earned this Cyborg. Yes. We didn't just get this Cyborg. This isn't the hero we need. It's the hero we deserve.
Did
I say that right? Ryan's in the booth, by the way. If you guys are speaking, giving us comments, Ryan's over there, of course, to talk to you.
What's up, yeah. Ryan? That's me. That's me in the corner.
Thank you. That's you losing your religion.
In the spotlight. Yeah, losing
your religion. Here's the thing. With Cyborg, what did you think of that storyline with the dad?
Well, I'm just glad that finally... it went a different way, because I thought it was going to be the same, where it's he's going to stay mad at him, they're going to go their separate ways, still hate each... Oh, he's going to hate his dad still, so I'm glad finally it's they had their little moment, and now... Yeah.
The hug, they had a hug.
Yeah, the hug, and now he doesn't hate his dad, he's embracing his powers, so I'm okay, finally we can move on, because how old are you? 18 or whatever? Okay, come on, after a while, just forgive your dad. I know he's not perfect, but I think...
He's not perfect.
Dads are not perfect, but
what do you mean? This is a perfect dad. You know what my dad gave me for my 18th birthday? $100 and a card. You know what his dad gave him for his 18th birthday? Superpowers.
I think I would pick the superpowers.
Yeah. I'm going with superpowers. When these shows are about kids who are upset at their parents for making them great, which we're going to talk into because it is a storyline that plays. Mm-hmm. Sheesh, all of our dreams.
I do understand, getting, upset about, them not showing up and things like that. That is a thing that a lot of kids go through. But then at the same time, it's not like your dad is going off doing bad stuff and that's why he's missing.
He's working. Dad showed up too much. Yeah, he was always home. He never, why are we always home? Why can't I do things sneak out of the house? Yeah. Why are we paying attention to me? Why are you showing up to every single game, bro? I'm going to need some space.
So he's doing it for a good reason, because he's trying to provide for you. So yeah.
If I get one more hug, we're fighting, bro. I get it. You love me, okay? Yo, he loves me for who I am.
I like the dynamic. I love how it kind of took too long it took too long of him just, like, moping and everything. And then you see a catastrophic event, which was happening last episode.
Yeah, we have Batman for Broody. We don't need Vic to do it.
We saw the catastrophic scene last episode where he's, like, dying and he needs his dad. His dad comes in and that kind of brings them together. Last episode, when we were talking about it, I thought it was quick. But after rewatching it and kind of seeing this, it made sense because it was, like, a big problem for them to have. They needed a discussion. And what happens? You have a catastrophic event that just brings you together. And that's all it takes sometimes. Mm-hmm. So I thought it was a cool, realistic relationship.
Yeah, sometimes it takes, like, something bad to make you kind of appreciate what you have.
What do you think of Cyborg's powers?
I thought it was cool to finally see. Yeah. Because he's always moping. He didn't want his powers. He didn't want to do anything. Dude, you're Cyborg. And we know that as fans and reading the comics and everything, but like, dude, you're Cyborg. We want to see this. And then just getting a little tease today, I'm only excited to see what else he's going to do and what else he's going to try with his new abilities.
Boom tube, yeah, super boom gun.
Mm-hmm. The strength. Yeah.
And he's still good looking.
Yeah, that's another superpower.
The other guy's a freaking alien turtle bug, and he's happy.
And he's happy as can be.
Yeah, I love him so much.
Sheesh, you know? That's the thing. I want to know what all of you at home think. Comment below. What do you think about Cyborg and his powers? And, of course, we're going with that poll. Who would beat who in a fight, Batman or Nightwing? We love hearing from you because you guys are all, if not as much, more so a part of this panel than all of us.
Yeah, so thank you guys for making AfterBuzz the ESPN of TV talk. And, yes, please comment, like, subscribe. If you're listening on iTunes, give us a 5-star rating. We'd really appreciate it. And for me, like, AfterBuzz has been just awesome because I get to meet these and work with these awesome hosts and talk about these cool shows and just, you know, have you guys, like, school us sometimes in the comments and then just see the little fights there are pretty entertaining. So, thanks for watching, and I hope you guys keep watching and commenting and everything.
Yeah, most of those fights are led by me, so keep on reading, okay? I say everything that I think and more! Overlord. We get to see this box, Overlord. Overlord looked huge before, and then we realize it's just in the palm of her hand.
Yeah, it looked like one of those little pop, those bobblehead-looking toys.
No, there was a toy. There was a specific toy that looked like this. There was a toy inside a box. It was, I forget what it was called, but it was like Overlord. No bobblehead. It was just a toy. Like a mini toy. Mm-hmm. And they were like mini monster robots that you would hold in your hand. And I felt like Overlord, I didn't see that coming.
I didn't either. I didn't really like it either. I loved it. I love seeing the Overlord with the powers and everything. It almost had the Avenger or the Iron Man 3 effect where it's like, oh, this is a bad guy, but it's not really the bad guy. It's just a small little character. Kind of not to that extent, but that's how the twist was.
Makes
for me.
It more dangerous when it's little.
True. Oh.
See, it's one thing to fight a monster. It's another thing to fight like a virus, right? It's small. It can't be seen. You don't even know where it's coming from. That's why it was diabolical.
Yeah. See, I like what you're thinking. I didn't think about just that. Like, I was like, it's small, so no. I'm just thinking of that. Like,
yeah, just like Bumblebee. Physical. I mean, you know.
Hmm?
She's small, Karen.
Oh, Bumblebee.
Yeah. So I can't underestimate just because they're small.
You mean, you know? Ant-Man, the female version? Yes, yeah. We're going to get into that conversation. Let's talk
who
about...
Who came first? We'll see.
Let's talk about that exactly. Let's talk about Bumblebee and Guardian and they're going Plan B. And that had to do with having a baby, first of all. Second of all, so we see Malcolm and Karen in a car driving, water breaks. We're wondering, when is this happening? It's simultaneous. They go to the hospital. Baby's born. Healthy baby girl? Kind of. Not too healthy. Has a heart condition, a hole. Of course, Bumblebee decides, hey, I can fix it. I'm Bumblebee. Mm-hmm. I can get really small, go in there and patch up the hole. Well, guess what? Adds an extra flavor or two. What'd you guys think about adding the metagene to the baby?
It just makes me think of, like, kind of, like, now, I think, because with all the science and everything, like, people, you know, with the, they can kind of, like, choose, like, you know, the sperm donors and things like that. And just, like, questions that I've heard were, like, you know, if you find out, like, your baby's going to have a certain condition when you still have the baby. It just makes you think of things like that. So I thought that was pretty relevant. And, you know, I feel like it's just going to, like, technology when it comes to that, like what you want your, like, you can kind of, like, build your own baby in a way. I feel like it's going to get to that point in a way. So it just kind of made me think of that. I thought it was pretty relevant. And I wasn't sure what she did, actually. For me, it was, like, not as clear, even though I watched it a few times. I was when she's like, because she just said, oh, I'm doing what is right for our baby, and I was like, what, did she add it or not add it? Like, I wasn't sure.
She definitely added it. Okay. Like, she added a little serum at the end. But it was cool for me to see the opposite point of view, because we always mm-hmm. see the parents not liking the powers, or the kids with powers not really liking their abilities and stuff. And we have parents that are really human to an extent. I mean, they're just human. They don't have any superpowers like they talk about in the car. And they're like, no, we've been around this. We know the positives that can come from that. I love that aspect, seeing it from the different point of view.
And also, you know, if you had the ability, like, to give your child those powers, would you do it?
That's a big thing. Would you? Yeah. Would either one of you?
But I don't know, because you don't even know what the powers are. Because you're giving them, powers.
What if you knew what the powers were? Would you give it to your, like, let's just say it's some power that
if it's
like,
good powers, then yeah.
Yeah, you would? Okay.
Without a doubt.
Yeah, I guess I think it just would depend on the power.
So playing God or
but
not.
But then I feel bad at the same time, you know? It's like, because you're messing, you know, with Mother Nature and stuff like that. So, quote-unquote Mother Nature.
I would tell Mother Nature, thank you for giving me this opportunity.
Oh, okay.
And I would
insert powers.
Let us know in the comments if you, you know, knew you had if you had the ability to give your child, you know, metahuman gene and there were, like, cool powers, would you do it?
Yeah, but it's not about being cool powers. See, that's the different thing. If we knew the outcome, then, of course, everyone's going to want to be smarter, faster, better. Mm-hmm. But what if you don't know the outcome?
Oh.
See, that's just dangerous.
That's the thing. In fact, that's there's a creature that exists in the DC universe where someone tried to add and it becomes like a monster, mm-hmm. you know, because Mother Nature did it. Superpowers, but still.
Yeah. I mean, just like with Swamp Thing, he didn't want his powers. Like, you see him, like, kind of pushing it away, trying to figure out who he really is. So those kids, if we push that on them, they're like, we didn't want this, especially if it was a power they didn't want, or if it changes their physical ability somehow, and we don't know that.
Look, appearance, people care about that. Ego always gets in the way, you know?
I mean, when you look like a swamp, like, you can't really date people.
Because do you technically also smell like a swamp?
You might.
Probably.
That was Ryan in the booth with the reference. That's the thing. Like, what would you do? Just to give you a heads up, Ant-Man appeared 14 years, basically, before Bumblebee. But
it's usually the other way around. It's usually the DC characters come DC's before the Marvel.
DC's Adam came out 22 years before Ant-Man.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So, drama. Ooh is right.
I need a drink so I can sip some of the tea right there.
Yes. Mm. So we have to be aware of this stuff because it's interesting, and you're
Green
right.
Green Arrow and Hawkeye. Yes.
Usually it does. It does go the other way around. DC's mm-hmm. been around longer.
Mm-hmm.
So here, maybe we should check out the Wasp and see which one was first.
Oh yeah, the Wasp and Bumblebee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's because that's.
I bet you DC and Bumblebee came first. I bet you.
I would assume so. But mm-hmm. what do you think is going to happen with their daughter? Do you think she's just going to have Karen Jr. is going to have this metagene, or is there going to be some repercussions and consequences to the action?
Yeah, there's got to be.
I'm thinking there's going to be repercussions just because you kind of did it without her point of view, or without her saying yes or no, and they were so happy and they were down for it. There's going to be some repercussions.
Like, okay, now that you already, you know, kind of messed with, you know, Mother Nature, I feel like you cannot. Yes, the right thing is to, I guess, to eventually tell your daughter, but she's gonna hate you. I'm telling you, because you messed with.
Hey, honey, we wanted to give you superpowers. Don't you hate us?
As I said, it's not like a guarantee she's gonna hate you, because if
usually,
it's super speed,
like,
I'm telling you, I'll be happy with my mom.
I guess, but it's just because it's not something like she chose, you know, and it might, you know, she didn't get.
There is a might for sure, because if it turns bad, but like, if it's great.
I didn't choose to go to elementary school, middle school, or high school. My parents kind of forced me.
But I was happy
about
it. It
was up to me. But now that I can read, I'm kind of like, I guess getting up at 7:30 wasn't that bad. But
so that makes sense.
If I had to do it again.
Yeah, I'm just saying that there's a possibility. Yeah.
There is a possibility. Yeah. And I think something is going to happen, but we'll talk about that in predictions. Let's get into Violet. Violet speaks up.
Yeah, it was good to see her finally, like, have a voice and having her do stuff and, like, wanting to speak out and, like, have a role, because she's always been silent and just kind of detracting herself away from the group and everything. We saw kind of with the last episode where she going to help talk to Gabrielle's parents. I thought that was a big, big growth point for her to see her actually realize what's going on, kind of grow from this, and then do the right thing. So it was cool to see her continue that.
Yeah, I was happy to see that as well, especially because I'm hopeful that she can somehow be saved. We can see more of her, and yeah, because we only have a few episodes left. So
well, she only has a few episodes left. Yeah, she's dying.
No,
and it's interesting.
I like her. I like her. I want her to stay. So
it's interesting what you guys picked up as speaking up. Here's the thing: what I meant by speaking up was actually the scene in which she speaks the language of the old gods, and Granny Goodness picks up on it. Now that was Violet speaking up, coming into the attention and sphere of Granny Goodness, who was clearly not aware of what or who she was before this, and saw the extent of some of her true powers. Now, if Granny Goodness picks up on what Violet is, we can see that as a big storyline.
They might try to use her to, you know, with the whole Antigae life equation and take over the world, because she's really powerful, so...
Yeah, I wonder if Granny Goodness has something to do with Dr. Helga Jace, because we also see her kind of turn on him, which could already happen, but we see that now. I wonder if those
somebody predicted that. I don't remember. I have to go look back.
It was a different episode, so who really cares?
But, but she's not turning on everyone, because she still wants to protect her kids.
Experiments. See, here's the thing. Let's remember when we first met her. She was part of the Lights program into creating and stealing kids to create Metagene. Now we see she probably has never left that program. She infiltrated. Not only that, but she also has infiltrated Black Lightning.
So we have...
the entire group.
Yeah.
And the kids don't even know.
Oh, shoot.
There's two moles in this episode.
She's going to end up being the big bad.
Is she
a true villain?
I mean, but we have Tara, and we have her now as like two different moles for two different entities. Maybe they're working together, maybe they're not, because we don't really know. They haven't really acted.
I don't think Tara knows, but I think clearly she knows. And on top of that, they're going in opposite directions. Tara's going away from being a mole, and the Doctor is going towards it, something we hadn't seen before.
Yeah, and it's interesting to see. So when are they going to find... they have to find out. And two, you still have to cure Violet. So it's going to be interesting to see how those two storylines interact, because it's all in one person, but it's two totally different things.
Do you have to cure Violet? Is that actually a part of her plan? We don't know. See, this is what I'm throwing out. She keeps saying... she even tried to stop Violet from reconciling with Brionne by saying, oh, let's find out what happens and then you can talk. And then when Brionne comes to her, to the Doctor, she's like, oh, you should probably let her come to you first and see what happens. But the truth is, she was trying to separate them from one another and keep them apart, because she has some type of agenda or plan.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. I mean, just like you said, she's spreading them apart. And it's interesting to see what her actual plan is, because I feel like we know a little bit. Obviously she wants to protect her people and her experiments, but where does the mission end, or how far does it go, and what does that have to do, or is she even trying to help Halo or Violet? Violet, obviously the same thing.
But that's the thing. I don't know.
What if she knew she was dying the whole time?
Or maybe she's not even
dying.
She
decided to tell. Oh my god.
What if she's not even dying?
I don't know anymore.
Literally, that twist at the end makes us question everything, because was she good? What part of was she good? Or was it all lies? How much of a lie was it?
Does she even like Black Lightning? Is she just using him? So I thought she actually cared about him, but now I don't know.
I mean, it looked that way, right? And then she... whenever you talk to the monkey with the brain, it's not going to be good.
Nope.
That guy's never been good. That guy's never had a good thought. Not even once. Not even... one time when he was in jail with Joker in a Batman episode, and he wanted opera on his television, he did one good thing for Christmas. That was the only time he's ever done anything good ever. That is on a Batman animated series.
He doesn't even talk about that day anymore.
Does not.
Since that day, he kind of like deleted it from his mind.
He's just not a good guy. I don't understand. Why are we in business with these people? But I did like the Violet storyline. It's always good to see her. She's actually one of the favorites on the show. What did you think about her and Brionne making up?
I'm happy that they made up, because I like them together. And I wanted him to you know, forgive her because, you know, she is not, it wasn't her, the one who actually let the guys in to kill his parents. So, yeah.
I was happy, but I was frustrated why it was taking so long. Because you see, she like opens up to him, tells Brion everything that's going on to an extent. It's not early, but she tells him. He deals with it. I get it takes a little bit, but it didn't take that long for his sister. Like, he was moping around, and then he's like, should I go there? And
oh, the sister who's a mole? Yeah, it didn't take her long to forgive someone else for doing something that was kind of shady and not honest. Here's the question for both of you. Let's take this and make it a real-world application.
Yep.
God forbid someone murders your family in front of you. Your mom and your dad, both of you. And then you meet their twin, and their twin is cool, and you like them. Could you separate it? Would that not bother you? This is a person who looks exactly like the person. Think about it in those terms.
No, I think so. I think I would, because it's not fair to blame one person for what someone else did.
Really? Yeah. I know people who won't even date someone that looks like their ex. Like, well, looks
petty.
Like you're the same
they're
race.
Petty and immature.
You're a Leo? My ex was a Leo.
But in this case,
I'm not like that.
Shout out to Matt Wright.
Brion and them didn't even know who it was or what it looked like. So mm-hmm. for her to say that, yes, it was the body that I'm taking over, it's all still new to them. So, like, I don't see how me looking at that person would be like, oh, you resemble the person.
Because they have a mental image of it. They have a mental image of it. You cannot get that out of your brain. Think about this like this. This wasn't even just normal parents. These were royal parents. And then it got you exiled from your country. And then you went through all of this. I mean, I'm sorry. That's an unforgivable act. You were part of an inside thing, regardless if that's you or not.
But it wasn't her.
Sure, but what if it's just someone who had, for example, who just had amnesia? I mean,
yeah.
it wasn't her, but it's her.
I get the part where, like, you need a break. You're getting a whole lot. This is the person you're looking at him, and that's what you see. But, like, till how long? And then,
how about an episode? Can we wait an episode? Because that's all it's been. Yeah. And yet everyone's kind of forcing Brion. I just personally don't like Brion. I don't even like them together. I don't like Violet with Brion.
I didn't like him at the beginning, but I like him
Brion,
now.
Personally.
I like him now.
I think what made it worse is that the two different dynamics of reacting to it. Because Tara didn't react that much, and we see Brion react a lot. I think that's why we're like, Brion, okay, like, you're doing a little
too much. Yeah, but Tara's caught up in her own situation, yeah. So it's easy. It's easy. For example, if you were dating someone and then you got caught cheating and they forgave you, it's because they were cheating on you too.
Yeah.
They just, oh, you know, it's cool.
It's like, oh, you're doing a bad
really?
Thing?
Oh,
I would never do that.
Awkward. You know, so it's easier when you can transfer responsibility. And that's the thing. Brion, even though I personally do not like Brion, I do not like how he is, because at least with Superboy in the first season, we got a story arc that got over that attitude quickly. Brion mm-hmm. has not really grown as a character. He's grown only in his relationship with Violet, and that is it. So when he's with Violet, he's sweet and nice. However, when it goes into any other situation or circumstance, he goes and reverts right back to the old Brion, who jumps to conclusions, who gets angry, mad quickly, who just takes action without thought. He always goes back to that.
And that's that's the frustration as a viewer. Like, we see the same old kind of storyline, same reactions. And even if some of them are justified, which this one is justified, we're kind of still trapped in that mindset, oh, he's moping again. So it's kind of doing it to himself. But I agree, this was justified. He deserved to have his time because that's his parents. But also, he stays moping. So that's what us as viewers kind of think about.
Every single time, it gets a little much. Let's get into the last two topics, Kaldor and Wind, which we get to see, and Dolphin finally gets her name.
Yes.
So we're officially calling her Dolphin, and she is now in Shiaris, and she's happy. Now we see Kaldor and Wind. They are together. There were a lot of people were upset, quote-unquote, by this. I don't know why.
What?
It's 2019.
Oh, my gosh.
Why do you care? And if you don't like it, don't date Kaldor or Wind. It's that
They're
easy.
They're not real.
They're so mad about a cartoon that's on that one TV show that you could turn a channel about. But it is
oh
what it
gosh.
Is. I thought it was cool to see. He, like, they made his character, his boyfriend's character grow, and not just a one-off, like, hey.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. I don't know if I'm using the word boyfriend. They haven't established their relationship parameters.
Right. They said partners.
I don't like that word, okay? I don't like giving
labels. He doesn't like
labels.
Commitment.
I don't want to put labels on them, but they said partners.
Okay.
And so they're partners. And
let them live. Okay.
Yeah, and his partner kind of had a growing interest for fans. We got to see him, like, evolve and see more about him. I love how they just threw out, oh, yeah, that's Dolphin now, and then moved on to the whole storyline. At least we got a name so we could talk about her. But, yeah, so seeing him and then this breathing thing, in and out, I'm like, that's something we just do naturally.
No. That was a nod. That was a specific nod. I will never get used to sucking and blowing like this. That was a nod. Okay, that was a nod. Well, yeah. That was a tongue-in-cheek. That was adults when adults write write cartoons. This is what happens. There's a lot of double entendres, and this was one of them, and it was classic.
Well, yes.
It was classic.
It was funny from that aspect, but it was like from the aspect where I was saying there's like, oh, it's just something that's natural, but it's also like a double. Yeah, it's like has two different meanings, and it was hilarious.
And I was also happy to see more of Wen, because I saw him in the last episode. I'm like, are we gonna get to know him a little bit more? And he actually like went and helped Aquaman with the mission and to save Nightwing and Black Lightning. So that was cool. And I love when he told him, like, I could kick your butt. So I'm like,
yeah. Because he said something specific. He said, I didn't drop out of Sorcery School. Mm-hmm. And that's a nod to the second season when Kaldor drops out of Sorcery School and goes to live on the land. And so he doesn't finish his magic and his training. And he was dating the other girl who, of course, went off with another guy. And that whole, they were sorcerer and that's how they got into it together. And it was a nod to all that. So it was just, I thought it was very clever how they added all that in.
Yeah, it was cool. It was cool to see him like express that I'm powerful than you. I can do just as many things as you. So I got to stop questioning me. Just the breathing thing's a little bit different.
Yeah, and there was also a nod to being gay and in the military by saying I had the exact same military training that you did. And that was a nod to that. So good for them. Good for taking on real world subjects in a cartoon and making real world people upset, because that's what art is. Art imitates life. So great. Complications. That has nothing to do with their relationship, but has everything to do with the text that the doctor sent at the end. What do you think that meant?
I don't know. And I'm still trying to figure out who she was talking about. Yeah. There's complications. Like, what's the complications? Mm-hmm. Is there someone that is...
The complication was like Brion and Violet reconciling.
Yeah.
She did everything to drive them apart.
Yeah, that's. I was like, oh, that's a bad thing. I thought you were going to be happy about that, but I guess that's a complication.
Well, it's not, so, you're not happy when you're working for the bad guys.
Well, I was personally happy, but...
I don't want to go too much into predictions, but that just leads into a prediction right there.
Well, let's get into that talk. Let's go to news and gossip. So, news and gossip. Guess what, everybody? Young Justice looks like it might get a movie. There are Young Justice Outsider creators talk possibility of a movie. If you want to go on CBR.com, there's a wonderful article. If it were up to the creators of DC Universe's Young Justice Outsiders, Brandon Vietti and Greg Wiseman, they would keep telling Young Justice stories in any form, even if that included a movie for the DC heroes. Wiseman told DC Universe, we'd consider a Young Justice puppet show to continue the story. Vietti added, any medium works for us. However, why break this news? Possibly getting a Young Justice Outsiders movie or some type of movie in the future. Cartoon movies from DC are amazing and have done extremely well. I've not liked the last couple that have come out, but before then, brilliant. And of course, we know DC's animated universe is amazing. So hopefully that happens. And guess who that's up to? All of us. Just keep trending, keep talking, and speak up the way Violet does. Let's get into that special segment, Outsiders, where Jeff Williams highlights an Outsiders, someone who's making a difference in the world. Who's our Outsider today, Jeff Williams?
This Outsider that we're choosing is the activist in Oregon. Actually, they work together, and it's kind of cool about what they did. They got the idea from the people, the activists, from the Parkland shooting that I kind of mentioned last episode. But they got an idea of, like, sticking up and, like, having their own voice. And one of the things they did for this one, they did the Mental Health Day, which was a bill and now became law after the Governor Kate Brown approved it in June. But pretty much it's just like any other sick day. So for people, there's kids that are dealing with mental health issues, they can take those days off. So it's a really cool thing that started by kids, that started by teen activists, that are translating to real life and real problems. Because mental health is a real problem for anyone and everybody. There's no discrimination. So hearing about all the realistic things that happen and that they cover in Young Justice and seeing this in real life, Outsiders, we hashtag we all are outsiders.
Hashtag we are outsiders. That's amazing. Good for them and good for all of you at home who are making a difference. Continue. And if you want to nominate an outsider, please do so in the comments below. iTunes, of course, when you subscribe and comment, we will read all your comments. We appreciate each and every one of you. Let's get into some predictions, shall we?
Your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Let's start all the way over to Anais.
All right, so Halo, I feel like she's gonna get, I don't know, kidnapped or something by, you know, Granny Goodness or somebody, and she's gonna be used maybe to, you know, against the outsiders in some way. And, you know, Helga, right, the doctor? Mm-hmm. I keep wanting to call her Helen. Helga, we're gonna find out she's, you know, a lot more involved, I think, than she's giving out. Like, yeah. And also, just like I said this a while ago, I want to see Courtney Whitmore become Stargirl. I know it's like a hope more than a prediction, but
I think we're going to see more of Gorilla Grodd. I think he's actually going to show his powers and maybe hypnotize what is his name, Brion. I think that's what's going to be the breaking point. He's like, look, I'm gonna just take it into my own hands and kind of do that, and maybe send him back to his hometown, because, like they said earlier, they're starting to love him again. He's trending. They want him back. I think that might be the transition and the breaking point for Violet.
Well, I appreciate both of your predictions. I think that Courtney Whitmore is going to just be Courtney Whitmore, because Stargirl's black now, and I want that girl to be. And that's who I'm looking for. Watch some Titans. Over there to the left, I think that both of you had great predictions, but I'm going to predict that Kaldor and Wynn are going to keep making people mad, and I'm going to not care. So how about that in the real world? Where can people find you if you want to be found? Jeff Williams.
You guys can follow me at Jeff Will and underscore Junior on all your social media platforms.
Instagram more than you think 7.
And I am Teron, literally at I am Teron. I would have given you predictions, but so far, basically, my predictions are spoilers, so I don't want to do that to you. Find me hosting and paneling on a slew of other AfterBuzz after shows, because all of your favorite TV shows are my favorite TV shows, too. Until next week, we're going to be talking a lot more Young Justice. We will see you then. Bye.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.